Ephesians chapter 5, we're getting close to the end of our series, Conquered by Grace, and we're looking today at countercultural family relationships. You know, in the gospel, God calls us in our homes, marriages, parenting, our families, to look different and to live different than the culture. Would you agree with that? Come on, church. Would you agree with that today? Absolutely. And that's the context of Ephesians chapter 5. And so just a little PSA today. Listen, this is one of those controversial passages in modern day culture that will ruffle the feathers. It will do that. But it's important that we know and understand the context of what's going on here. And so we're going to lean into that today. These roles, right, of husbands, wives, and children in the home. How many of you know that the home is the building block of society, isn't it? If the devil can destroy the home, he can destroy a nation, Katie. And isn't it interesting how the devil goes after those relationships, one man, one woman for one lifetime, and a godly Christian home, raising kids in the ways of the Lord. So much of that has been destroyed in our culture. And God wants to bring a revival of godly homes, but that starts in the church, doesn't it? And so that's what today's message is all about. Let me also say today, there's a lot of folks in the church that are blended families now. A lot of folks and multiple of you here that have walked through the tough, hard days of divorce. And so the intent of this message and of God's word and of this passage is not to throw shame or condemnation on folks who have walked through tough days of divorce. I don't know the circumstances you've been through. I don't know the circumstances of a previous marriage you may have been a part of. And so with that said, we don't want shame or guilt or condemnation thrown on folks today. Isn't that right? Living Hope Faithful? Come on now. But we also want to strengthen the marriage you have now, okay? Let's just deal with now. Aren't you glad that the past is gone if you know Jesus? It's forgiven. It's under the blood. There may be things today that the Spirit of God calls out in your life based on a previous marriage or relationship that you need to make right. God could do that today. So can we be open to the Spirit of God for maybe some of those things? But at the end of the day, today is not about condemnation. Those of you who have sexual brokenness in your past, sexual immorality in your life, today is a day of grace to come and lay all that down and say, God, I know your word is best. You say one man, one woman for one lifetime is appropriate sexuality, but also your best for sex. And so, God, we're just going to lay that down today, too. And receive of your grace. And so can we just start there? Can we just lay a foundation of grace in the gospel today in Christ? And just know that we can come to him and bring all of our stuff and be forgiven and be cleansed and be strengthened and be encouraged. And from this point forward, whatever the past is, let's just leave that behind. As Paul said, there's one thing I've learned, forgetting what lies behind and, you know, reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on. For the gospel, for the upward call of God in Christ. And so that's what today's message is all about. How many science enthusiasts have I got in the room? Science folks? Yeah, I love science because when you study all the intricacies of animals and trees and the oceans and the mountains and just how things work, how our solar system works, doesn't it just scream God? I mean, it just says, wow. I mean, look at the handiwork of God. Salmon. I got any fishermen in the room? Any fishing fans in the room? So, you know, when you study salmon, these fish, right, they swim upstream for literally hundreds of miles to go and to reproduce. That's why they do that, to go back to their original reproduction creek or river to reproduce, to spawn. And so they live most of their adult lives, salmon do, out in the ocean. But then they will swim back. And what scientists tell us is that they really believe it's connected to a sense of smell that they have. Literally, when they are, when they're hatched, right, in those original breeding grounds, they learn the smell and the scent. Isn't that interesting? Of that original spawning place. And even on their pathway out, once they develop enough to move out to the ocean, as they move down those other rivers and tributaries to get to the ocean, they even will remember, they believe, scientists tell us, some of those scents even along the way. So, like, for example, in and around Seattle, Washington, and some of those rivers where salmon may have to swim upstream to go back and to reproduce, scientists tell us that most of those salmon come from Alaska, up around Alaska, all the way back to Seattle. Some of them, they believe, they've tagged them and marked them over time, have come all the way from Japan, off the coast of Japan, all the way back to that area around Seattle to reproduce. And so why do I tell you that story today? Number one, I'm fascinated by it. Number two, okay, and science geeks in the room, like, wow. I mean, that's like God stuff going on there. That's cool how God made them. But also, number two, does God want us to swim upstream? Our families, our relationships, how we do life. Does God want us to be salmon-like? Absolutely. He wants us to swim against the culture. That idea, right? Swim upstream. You've probably heard that that idea before, but God wants us in our homes. There should be things about us, listen, in our marriages, our parenting, kids, the way that you respect and respond to your parents. There should be many characteristics of our homes and our relationships that should look totally different than the culture around us. That's the big idea here. The idea in Ephesians chapter 5 is not like, hey, men, get your wives in line, and women, you just need to bow down to your husband and submit and all this stuff that some of our fundamentalist brothers miss and teach wrongly, by the way. That's not the context of this passage. Yes, there is authority structure in the home, just like there is in the church, just like there is in the Godhead. But we are co-heirs of the grace of life. Come on, guys in the room, right? The Bible says in 1 Peter 3, we're co-heirs of the grace of life. The idea in this passage is not that to put women down and lift men up. You've got to understand Greco-Roman culture. In Ephesus, their leading god or goddess that they worshipped was Artemis. You remember me talking about this early in the series. And so one of the seven ancient wonders of the world was this temple to Artemis. And so Artemis was like the bastion of feminism. So they're worshiping this goddess who was this combination of the goddess of like nature and hunting and fertility. If you remember, we talked about how they had the Bank of Asia in the temple. So literally what many historians say was the strongest bank, most significant bank in all of Asia Minor, was there in that temple. So even as folks brought their money to deposit into the bank, they did it under the guise, right, this symbolic guise of this goddess. And so in that culture, you had women that were like, I am woman, hear me roar, right? And I'm going to control my husband, and I'm going to tell him what to do, and I'm going to be disrespectful, and I'm going to lift up my mythology as I do it and talk about how it's the right way to do things. And then on the flip side of that, guys, you had irresponsible, drunk sex addicts. I don't know how else to say it, but there were a whole lot of men. Remember, the goddess of fertility, Artemis. So there was all kinds of sexual debauchery and licentiousness that went on under the guise of worship to Artemis. And so there was, you think we're tempted today, and we are, right? Guys, pornography is right there in your hand, isn't it? So do you have an accountability partner there? Do you have some safeguards right on your phone, on your TV, streaming television, on your computer? It's there. And so there is this barrage of temptation. But could you imagine being a 16, 17, 18-year-old boy and you're being told that's proper worship to go have sex with a temple prostitute? So did I tell you early on in this series that he's writing directly to the American church? Did I tell you that? This is directly applicable to us today. And so you had, for example, there was one festival to Artemis called the Artemisian Festival, where annually on the 6th of May, which was the birth date, supposedly, isn't that interesting? Their god was, you know, was born, a human, you know, and then became this goddess and was not eternal God like Jesus is. But you had on the 6th of May this Artemisian Festival, and literally they would take the statue of Artemis out of the temple, walk down to the harbor, because Ephesus was a port city, and they would dip that statue, literally, historians tell us, in the ocean, signifying the purification of Artemis and restoring her virginity because of all the junk that had gone on in her name sexually over the past year. And then they would usher this statue back to the temple. And guys, on the way there, it would turn into a drunken, sexual, crazy display. All right. And I'm going, for the sake of kids in the room, that's all I'm going to say about it. And that's what it would become. And so that's, are you listening today? That's the culture. Let's get the context here. So what he's saying is, let's combat the militant feminism and the toxic masculinity. This, we're supposed to come together and submit to one another and serve one another in the gospel. And so that's the context here. Even as we get started, this mutual submission to one another, that we both, husband, wife, and children, all of us, would submit to the headship of Christ and the gospel of Jesus and the mission of God, his kingdom mission in this world. Swim upstream. So that's the big question today. Do our lives, men, and the way we treat our wives, do we build them up in the gospel? Do we put them on display? Do we encourage them and serve them and love them, as he says here, like Christ loved the church? Or is it all about my own selfishness and my own gratification? Ladies, is life about fixing your husband, controlling your husband? Is it about those things? Or is it about serving them, praying for them, and gently pointing them towards Jesus, who is the head ultimately of the church? And the ultimate head of the home, yes, through the husband, but the ultimate head. Is that representative of our homes? Teaching our children the gospel, bringing our children up, as he'll say here, we'll read in just a moment, under the discipline and admonition of the Lord. Intentional, habitual gospel in our home. Is that true of our homes? Do we need a revival in our homes today? Come on, church. And what about your home and mine today? Does this exemplify us? If not, my prayer is in just a little while, I'm going to invite you at invitation time today to come forward as families, and our staff, our prayer team's going to be here. We just want to pray together, pray over your families and join in with you and pray for strength and grace and the power of the Holy Spirit to be on your home, and for God to give you wisdom and direction and patience and peace with one another. And that we would all swim upstream for the glory of God. Okay? Ephesians 5. Let's look together. Verse number 21. That's really where it starts. By the way, were there chapters and verses in the original letters? No, we added those later. So this is all one set. When you read the Bible, know that the chapters and verses were added much later. And so it's a very important we read all this in context and get the totality of it, right? So let's go back to verse 21, right before the section on husbands, wives, and children. He says, verse 21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. There's the foundation. Submit to one another. This is a mutual service, okay? Verse 22. So with that in mind, wives, the word submit is actually not even here in the Greek. It's simply playing on that verse 21. So it says, okay, wives to your husbands. That's the idea here. There's no imperative here, although the idea is very clear. It's not a command here. The husbands are the ones. Come on, guys. We're the ones that get the command in verse 25. A direct imperative in the Greek. And so, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband's the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Let's have this radical, different looking marriage than what the world portrays. Husbands, then, do what? Love your wives as Christ loved the church, gave himself up for her. Why? That he might sanctify her. Keep that Artemisian festival in mind. And it's interesting how he uses that language. That he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. Isn't that interesting? So that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Not this crazy licentiousness and debauchery going on in society, but instead, let's create a new festival. Let's set a new culture. Let's set a different direction, one that's honoring to the gospel, that's holy and right. And verse 28, in the same way, husbands, guys, are you with me? Say amen today if you're with me. Come on, guys. So much emphasis, by the way, is put on the men here, so much more than the wives. Yes, we are called to lead in our homes. Let's be clear. We're called to lead in our homes. In society, there's order. It's God's created order. But at the same time, what does that mean? What does that mean? And he leans into all that here. In the same way, husbands, love. Has he already said that word? Right? Look at your wife right now. Tell her you love her. Right now. Do it. Come on. In Jesus' name. I love you, baby. I'm going to help you today. Look at her and tell her she's hot today. Do it right now in Jesus' name. You are bringing it. Right? Have I said Crystal's my donut? She's hot and holy. Y'all heard that one before? My new folks in the room, y'all may have not heard me say that one before. Okay? In the same way, husbands, love your wives. You should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. No one ever, isn't that interesting? We talk about being, he's full of himself. No, listen, love your wife. First, love God, love your wife, love your family. Self last. For no one ever hated his own flesh, here's the key, but nourishes and cherishes it. Come on, guys, we're to nourish and to cherish, provide for and protect. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Just as Christ does the church, because we're members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother. So Genesis 2:24, this is prior to the fall. So this structure is not the result of sin. This was God's original design. That's what he's saying here. Okay? God's original design is man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife. Not have his wife and some on the side. Not have his wife and be hooked on pornography. Not have his wife but yet be in love with his hobbies. Not have his wife, but be like totally in love with his job or his position in the community or in his workplace. But he should hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound. And every man said, amen. My wife's a mystery. Come on now. Y'all can laugh. It's okay today, right? Still trying to figure it out, right? Crystal, I better remember this. 24, we've been married, what? It'd be 22 years this year. So I am still on fifth grade level. I'm still learning. Y'all learning? Come on, guys. This mystery is profound, but all kidding aside, it refers to what? How we should interact is how Christ and the church are to interact. However, this ain't a mystery. Let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects. There it is, love and respect. We'll talk about that today for a few moments, but love and respect, that's the idea there. What does our wife want? Love. Ladies, what does your husband want? Respect. That's the created order. Ego can be a good thing when it's given to God, guys. Now, when it's all about me, that's a big problem, isn't it? But when it's submitted to God, that desire to work and to be responsible and to lead your home is a good thing when it's submitted to Jesus. And now, chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Come on, children. Where's my kids at? Come on, kids in the room. Obey your parents. There it is. Blanket statement. Right? Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. So it even goes beyond just like obedience with a smirk. Right? Or an attitude. Like, no, let's show honor to our parents. Let's be grateful for all that they do for us. Look at this. It's the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Where's my Trek fans at? Star Trek, live long and prosper, right? So all the children in the room today, let's go. This is our deal, right? Go look up Star Trek on your own. You probably don't know what that is. The original, the OG Star Trek, right? Spock, live long and prosper. And all kidding aside, when you choose to honor the authority structures over you, starting with your parents, you will live long and prosper. Isn't that interesting? It's a promise from God's word. It's God's best for your life. Fathers, come on, guys, don't provoke your children to anger. Don't annoy them. Don't anger them. Don't be unreasonably hard or make a bitter home. Don't provoke your children to anger, but bring them up. There it is, in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. It's talking about intentional habits. Okay? So, husbands and wives, point number one today, we see here the devotion of marriage. And I'm going to move through this quickly so we can get to our prayer time over families today. Devotion of marriage. Marriage works when we submit to one another. Isn't that right? Come on, couples in the room. By the way, single folks today, great relationship advice here, so don't check out. Okay? There's so much here for single folks, too, as you're seeking God's will for your life and relationships and all those things, okay? And there are those, by the way, whom God calls to a life of singleness, the Bible says, and gives them grace to live a life of singleness. And so let's be clear on that. But submit. The word submit here is a military term. It means to respect the chain of command. Soldiers in the room, you know that well, don't you? Respect the chain of command. Who's the head of the church? Come on now. Jesus is. And therefore, the husband in the home, when it says the husband is the head, it simply means that is God's order. All social order depends upon our willingness to work together, doesn't it? And to come to an agreement upon authority. God's best for the home is that the husband and the father be the leader of the home. That is God's best. Jesus is the commanding general. We both serve him and we serve the best interest of all parties in God's eyes. That's the idea here. Wives, submit. The husband being the head, come on guys, doesn't mean he's the brains of the home. Sometimes we may be the opposite. Can I get an amen on that? Head doesn't mean the brains. Head doesn't mean, guys, all that happens has to go through dad. It's not lording over your home, right? That's not the idea here. Submission, ladies, is not subjection. Headship is not dictatorship. That's not the idea here, okay? The weight of responsibility here really begins with the husbands. And so men, in other words, submission is the natural response of a wife that feels loved. That's the idea here. It's not something we demand. How dare we demand and try to subject our wives to our opinions or our expectations? But instead, we're to build our wives up, to love them, to serve them. That's what he says here. Love them as Christ loved the church. And then the response. This is all part of God's original created design. The response, therefore, is this trust in the heart of the husband, but ultimately in the heart and the will of God. And so that's the idea here. It's very Trinitarian. The Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Our God is triune. All three co-equal, all three co-eternal, all three God. That's the idea in the home. The husband is the head. But the wife also is a leader in the home by the way she serves and prays and speaks gently into the things of God and how we should live for God, right? But this beautiful picture, I believe one of the most beautiful pictures of the gospel in a marriage is a wife who portrays Christ. Just as Jesus came and said, my food is to do the will of the Father, ultimately that is the heart of a godly wife. Our food is to do the will of the Father. Your husband's not God. God is God. Come on, man. But we're submitting to what? The will of the Father. It's a beautiful picture. It's a Trinitarian picture. Both the Father and Jesus, are they both equally God? Absolutely. And are they both leaders? Yeah, they're both God. But in that idea in the home, are they both leaders, effective leaders in the church and in our world? Sure they are. That's the idea here. So don't miss the bigger picture. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Come on, guys. This verse is not in the Bible. There are no verses in the Bible that speak this way about the wives. But yet there's a verse in the Bible that talks about how the husbands are going to be disobedient. Come on, every wife in the room, say amen. Yeah, yeah, hey, I got some good amens on that one, right? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, wives, how do you win your husbands? Be subject to your own husbands so that even if they don't obey the word. Are we going to disobey the word, guys? Come on now. Every day. Every day we make mistakes. Even if they're not obedient, they may be won without a word by what? The conduct, that gentle, calm respect, prayer and gentleness. Okay, and that's the idea here. Isn't it interesting that in the Bible we see where the husband's going to be disobedient? And so husbands, love. Wives, submit. Husbands, love your wives. How do we love? Like Jesus. Even when we were sinners, he loved us. And how does he still love us? Come on, husbands. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Condemnation, criticism, all that negativity in the home is not of God. That's not of God. And so God calls us to serve, to lead. What does it mean to lead? Leadership is not dictatorship. It's not demands and commands. Leadership is example. It's influence. It's humble service. It's communication, effective, kind, respectful communication. And it's ultimately vision. What is God's vision for our family? And the same, come on now, the same gentleness and respect that God calls the wives to show to their husbands is the same kind of tender love, men, that we are to show to our wives. And so that's the call here. Do we see this? Right? That's the big idea here. Notice also here, secondly, the desires of marriage. And I want to show you a real quick picture here of this cycle of love and of respect. Okay, so this Dr. Emerson Eggerichs wrote a book called Love and Respect. Anybody read the book? Anybody in here that's read the book, Love and Respect? If not, great book for your marriage. Check it out. There's also a Bible study with it. If any of our family groups, if y'all want to do that Bible study, we can help you do that for a season. But he talks in the book about these needs, right? What are the desires of marriage? Wife wants to be loved. Husband wants to be respected. Yet in the home, here's the cycle, right? What happens? A wife that feels unloved shows what? A lack of respect. By the way, guys, come on now, own it. It's always our fault. Can I get an amen on that? Come on. Every time, it's always our fault. And by the way, I say that tongue in cheek, but there's some truth to that. Like, it starts with us. Are we being sensitive and tender and caring and kind, just like Jesus is to us? Are we being that way? And so without love, what happens? She reacts now without respect. He's ticked off. And what is wrong with you, woman? You know, you talking to me like that? And all of a sudden, everybody's ego goes crazy. And it's like, hey, y'all ever had those times in your home? We have. Pastor has. Can I be honest? We had those times. My wife and I are both incredibly competitive people. If y'all know us, y'all know what I'm talking about. And that has made its way down to our children, so now they compete with us too. And so it turns into World War III. So, y'all okay? I guess some of y'all are a whole lot more spiritual than the pastor. Sorry. I know y'all are holy. You know, y'all so holy up in here. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Turns into World War III. Man, we're all competitors in our home. We have to learn that. Let's all lay this stuff down, right? The gospel, by the way, is not about competition. It's about cooperation. That's another sermon for another day. But this idea, right? So when there's not tender, loving care, men, with this starts with us. Listening, patient, kind, that's where it starts. Love your wives as Christ loved the church. And so we can turn that crazy cycle into an edifying cycle when we choose love. So we choose love, and therefore what happens? The response of our wives. And by the way, wives, if your husband's being unloving, somebody's got to break the cycle. Right? Somebody's got to break the cycle. Doesn't mean be afraid, and how dare any man in here ever intimidate their wives. Come on, guys. Or speak in a way to try to harm them, or how dare we ever go down the road of verbal abuse or physical abuse. You kidding me? Come on, man. But ladies, somebody's got to break the cycle, right? And so, who's going to do it? Who's going to be the mature person to step in and just rely on the love of God and say, in this moment, you ain't acting right, but I'm finna act right. I'm going to act right. So I'm going to choose wives. I'm going to choose respect. Or men, I'm going to choose love. And would to God that men, it would start with us. We say, time out. I'm sorry. We're arguing over dumb stuff. Amen. This is not as big a deal most of the time. Every now and then it's a big deal, but 95% of the time it's not a big deal. And all of a sudden we're arguing about stuff we shouldn't be arguing about. So who's going to break the cycle? Well, guys, let's be the cycle breakers, man. Let's be the ones to say, hey, I'm sorry. Let's just go sit down and talk. Let's cuddle. Come on, ladies. Let's hold hands. Let's speak kindly, right? Here's Love Languages, right? It's another great book to read. So, you know, here's a little gift. Here's a little something. Here's some chocolate, some candy. I'm leaning into all the stereotypes. I'm sorry. I know some of you probably won't throw tomatoes at me right now, but that's okay. I'm just going to lean into the stereotypes, right? You know what your wife's thing is. You know what speaks to her heart, so do that. Come on, man. Life's too short to have a broken marriage. And men, listen to me, that little sweet thing at your work that's in your ear right now, or that you're texting directly, that's a rattlesnake coiled up ready to bite you. Don't be stupid. Trust God, man. Thank God for a wife that'll put up with you, that'll love you and help raise your kids, man. Come on. Be bigger and better than that, right? Oh, but lastly, we see not only the devotion of marriage, the desires of marriage, but lastly, we see the discipline of children. So kids today, promise right here from God's word, right? Come on, kiddos. Here it is. Live long and prosper, right? For real. Just trust your parents, man. You'll live long and prosper.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's podcast. So glad you could join us. If you've given your heart to Jesus, text HOPE JESUS, all one word, text HOPE JESUS to 77411. HOPE JESUS 77411. And let me encourage you to subscribe to this podcast. If you hadn't done that already, make sure to hit that subscribe button and share it out. You never know whose life might be changed by simply sharing this message today. So share it out. Okay? And so thank you again for listening in, and we invite you to listen in with us next week.